We can breathe. We can walk. We are in our right senses. It's not given to everyone. That's why we need to appreciate God for his faithfulness upon our lives. So I welcome you to this message that the Lord dropped in my heart. Let's pray. Savior, we want to appreciate you this morning. We thank you for your grace upon our lives. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that as your word goes forth, that no one will hear my voice, but they will hear only your voice. In the name of Jesus, I ask, Father, that you help your people to understand your word this morning, that their ears will hear, that their heart will comprehend, and they will be quickened by this word to be all that you have called them to be. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And the people say, Amen. Okay, so today, for those who want the title of this message is Winning in Life the God's Way. Winning in Life the God's Way. I'm taking the Bible passage from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6 from 24 to 33. Matthew 6 from 24 to 33. I read, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather on into barns, yet your heavenly Father feed them. Are you not much more better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." And verse 3, which is the main focus, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The focus of this message is winning in life the God's way. Right? In this life, 99% or 90% of people will chase those things from verse 24 to 32. But when we go to the Bible in Isaiah 55 from verse 8 to 9, Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8 to 9, it says that, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." That tells us that when it comes to God, he does not think the way we think. God says you should give and it shall be given unto you, but the world wants to take. The way of God is always opposite to man's ways. So this simply means that human wisdom does not come to play when we are considering the things of God. So if you are going to win in life, you cannot do it your own way. Especially when you are a child of God, when you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the only way you can win is to follow his own way of winning. And the things that he has prepared for you will start unveiling. So when we go to this verse of scripture in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, seek ye first. It says that means that should be the first thing. Seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Then the things that people are chasing all over the world will now be added to you. So let's now break it down. What does it mean to seek his kingdom? What is the meaning of seeking his righteousness? When we understand this thing, then we'll be able to know that, okay, this is how it is done. Because the truth is, in the kingdom of God, in the things of God, right, it's like 1 + 1 = 2. It is something that is predictable if you know how it is, right? So what is the kingdom of God that we want to seek? If we jump to Romans chapter 14, verse 17 to 18. Romans 14, verse 17 to 18. The Bible says that for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So scripturally, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He said, it is as simple as that. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So, let's break it down further. Because the Bible says that, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. That is, when you know, you now understand, then you'll now be able to apply it to your life. When we don't know, because if the Bible says in Hosea 4:7 that my people perish because of lack of knowledge, he didn't say sinners are perishing. He said my people. So it is possible for you to be a Christian and still perish. That's why you need to know. That's why you need to seek to understand. When you understand, even though you're a Christian, you will not perish. It said my people. When you look at it very well, my people are, all of us here. So if you don't know, you can go into error because of ignorance. So, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, when was the first time that God mentioned the word righteousness? It's always good to find the etymology of something, to find out where did it begin, where is this starting from? If you look at the Bible in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. Genesis 7, verse 1. The Bible says that, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Do you know what it means for God to testify that somebody is righteous in his generation? Now, he was the only one. What did he do that God said, this guy is righteous? Now, one thing about reading the scripture is that you don't read it out of context. Try and find out what was said before to be able to connect the dots and know what's really happening. Why did God say that? If we move back one verse, which is Genesis 6:22. The last verse before going to Genesis 7, you will see something here. It says that, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Then Genesis 7 now came and said that, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteous. The Bible gives us footprints. It gives us pointers to what God is saying. When he said, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Meaning that God told him to do some things, and he did them. You being righteous is just doing what God says you should do. That's the definition. Because that's the first time God will say somebody is righteous. Now, if you want to establish something, the Bible said that in the mouth of two or more witnesses, yeah? It said, let the word of God be established. So that's not a fluke. Let's look at another instance. If you go to Genesis 15, verse 1 to 6, Genesis 15, verse 1 to 6, it talks about the conversation between God and Abraham. He was still Abraham that time before God changed him to Abraham. We see a conversation between God and Abraham. Now, if we zoom into verse 5 and 6 of that particular passage of Genesis 15, it says that, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And verse 6 says, and he believed in the Lord. And he counted it for him for righteousness. Those are the two instances that God personally testified that these guys are righteous. What did Abraham do? Abraham believed what God said. So, can you see if somebody believes something? Is it possible to see that you believe something? Can I see it? No. You can't see what somebody's heart. But God saw his heart. He didn't see anything. He said, and he believed. And God counted that act as being righteous. So we now see righteousness, peace, and joy. The first one, righteous, is about your heart with God. When God is speaking to that heart, are you listening? Are you hearing? Can you comprehend what he's saying? Do you follow him? Do you believe what he has said concerning you? Do you understand what he has said concerning you? Are you desirous of knowing him? Now, if you look at these two people, Noah and Abraham, they had a personal walk with God. What does that tell us? It means that we have to be deliberate and intentional about our relationship with God. Now, if somebody like JC now, if I were to know the perfume you're wearing, is it possible for me to know at this distance? How will I know? Close, right? So, you can only know the heart of God if you are close to him. You have to be deliberate about knowing him. Now, if he's going to give you an instruction, right? How will you hear if you are not close by? Can you hear him when he's whispering to you? Whispering. Or you are having your bath, or you are cooking, or you are driving, or you are taking a run. Do you hear those whispers when he's trying to tell you something? These are the examples that this man gave for us to know how to be righteous. Righteousness is just simple. Hearing him and doing as commanded. Doing as commanded. Following him irrespective of whether it makes sense or not. Remember at the beginning I was trying to establish how God thinks and how we think. If you think the way this small head that we have is going to comprehend what he's saying, then you'll be wasting time. I remember one instance that happened to me. I think that was 2018. Yeah. I had finished my PhD, and I had to pay the fees for 2018 and 2019. Now, the funds were not available again for me to finish it because, as at the time that I got a scholarship, there was a drop in the value of the currency of the naira. And so the money was not enough. So when I finished the PhD, I was just pondering that, okay, how are you going to pay this thing? My mother was asking me a question. My wife was asking me, how are you going to pay this money now? I said, the one that took me to this point will make it possible. So that day, that was one day, I think I just finished my quiet time and I was sitting in my living room and I heard it clearly. He said, write an email to the school and tell them to waive the international levy. Now, for us to understand what that means, those who are students in the UK, you pay home fees. International students pay international fees. The difference in that is that international levy. So because I'm an international in South Africa, I have to pay the international fees. And God said I should write an email to the school that they should waive the international levy. I said, but I have submitted. This does not make sense. How would they respond? I said, go and write it. Now, while I was still trying to comprehend what he was saying, I got an email from the school. The school said that because you submitted May, that we are giving you 50% off the fees. Now, that gave me some courage that, okay, we're going somewhere. So the 50% was taken off. Now, the remaining 50% had the international levy in it. As at that time, it was 9,450 rand that was remaining. And out of that 9,450, it was 8,400 that was international levy in that amount. So I summoned the courage, I wrote an email, and I sent the mail to two people. One person replied, said that I'm no longer in that department, please send the mail to this place, maybe they can do something. So I redrafted the mail, I sent it to that place. And the next thing I saw was a correspondent. You know, if you are copied in an email, just for your information. So I just saw, dear so-so-so, please take 8,400 from this fund to cover the international levy of Mr. Lewis. I said, wow. Okay. So 8,400 was taken for 9,450. It remained 1,050. My supervisor now sent an email to me. She said, Larry, how far with your school fees? I said, it remains 1,050. He said, oh, okay, I can take that from my research funds. Send me the details, I'll pay it. That is how the money was paid. So, what I'm trying to say is this. See how events pan out from 50% to waiver of the international levy to my supervisor paying, and that is how it was paid. Now, what we are trying to establish here is the things that we worry about. Right? The truth is, once we worry about it, we deny the presence of God. I don't know whether you got that. Anytime you allow something to overtake you, it means that you don't believe that God exists. Because if he's there, he said, cast your burden onto him, for he cares for you. Once you allow it to overwhelm you, when you allow him, allow those worries, those cares of life to take over, then you put to the rear the mighty God that you serve. So that's righteousness. Righteousness is just the act of doing what is right in God's sight. Now, I know in a country and like the UK, all over the world, there is something they call political correctness. In God, there is nothing like political correctness. Whatever we are doing, we must always check, is it in line with what God wants? Right? It is doing continuously what God commands you to do, whether it makes sense or not. It is walking with the frame of mind to please God always. It is a lifetime of commitment to pleasing God. When I was growing as a young Christian, I think during my teenage years, there's something we call WWJD. Have you heard that before? I don't know whether they still use it now. But when we were growing that time, there's something called WWJD. What does it mean? What will Jesus do? So most times, as a teenager, we ask ourselves, this thing that I want to engage in, what I want to do now, if Jesus were to stand beside me, will he be happy? What will Jesus do in this situation? I'm thinking something. If Jesus were to hear some of the things that I'm thinking, will he be happy? So that constricts us to always be mindful of God's presence. And that's how we grew. That is how our lives are supposed to be. We are mindful of God's presence. We are mindful of pleasing him. We are mindful of doing his will. So every time you want to act, you want to make a move, you want to react, ask yourself, what will Jesus do? Right? Now, that is righteousness. Let's move to the next two, which is peace and joy. Peace and joy. What is peace and joy? In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. It says that, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. What that tells us is that peace and joy is only possible through the Holy Spirit. Now, when you talk about fruits, you know, when we plant something, before it can bear fruits, it will have been rooted in the ground, right? It has grown to maturity, and it will now start bearing fruits, right? So, that means for you to bear the fruits of peace and joy, the Holy Spirit must have taken total control of your heart. The Holy Spirit must have been knitted into you. I remember this illustration will help us. When I was in the secondary school, I took agriculture as one of the subjects, and there's something they call grafting, that you cut like a plant, and you fix it and tie it together, and they become grafted together, and they will grow. Now, that means your heart is knitted with the Holy Spirit, grafted together. When it's not grafted together, you now start growing and you start bearing these fruits until the Holy Spirit begins to reign, right? You will not be able to bear those fruits. So when Jesus was saying that, seek ye first the kingdom of God, it's a whole lot of things inside it, right? He's talking about you giving your ear to God. You must hear him, obey what he has to say. Is allowing the Holy Spirit to take preeminence in your life. Allowing the Holy Spirit to reign. Yeah? This means when Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, he expects us to be intentional about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. When you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you do? You pick your phone, right? Who is guilty of that? You pick your phone first. How many likes do I have today? Or do you pick WhatsApp? I don't even pick my phone. If anybody wants to get me in the morning, right? If it's a message, it's not urgent. If it's urgent, you call me. So I don't allow the phone to determine my construction in the morning. When I'm ready, I'll now pick the phone. Who do we give attention to? You know, in Romans chapter 8, verse 13 to 14, Romans 8, 13 to 14, it says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." Verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, there's something that I need to make clear. When you hear sons of God, or when you hear sonship, it's not male or female gender. No. When you hear sons or sons of God or sonship in the Bible, it's talking about growing to maturity. It represents a state of being mature in God. So that means that you can only become mature in God if you allow the Holy Spirit to reign. When you now allow the Holy Spirit to reign, you'll now be bearing those fruits. You'll now be able to hear God. The Bible talks about nobody can know the heart of a man except the spirit of the man. We are created in the image of God. So, to know the heart of God, we need to know or have a relationship with the Spirit. So, if the Holy Spirit is reigning in our lives, He will give us insight, classified information. You start hearing things for yourself. You start hearing things for your family. You start hearing things about your workplace. He will be telling you things about even other people. Step by step, from glory to glory. Right? And that's how the thing grows. And the reason why we have so much issue in the world is because we have not decided to rise. With all the power, everything that is available in God, we need to intentionally choose to rise. Look, let me tell you one thing. In that workplace that you are, in that organization, in that school, in that business, in that your family, God has put you there for a purpose. I mean, there was something that happened to me a couple of years ago. And I was struggling to understand what's going on. I was praying for almost 1 year that God should intervene. Now, after praying all manner of prayers, that was one day, I think it was the end of the year, I was now seated. And the Holy Spirit said that you have been praying all this while. Do you know what God has to say over this matter? I said, oh, okay, I'm sorry. All right. Father, please, I'm sorry that I've been rambling for 1 year. Please just have your way and say what you want to say. And I now started hearing a kind of revelation. He said, this matter is something that has been before you were born. God took me through about 3 generations before me. And he said that it's a cycle of 17 years. What? So I've been praying, wasting time. He said, look, this is what has been happening. At this time, it was 17 years. At this time, it was 17 years. On your father's side, it was 17. This one's 17. So if you don't act this way, this thing will jump over you and continue in your children. Oh, okay. All right, so what do we do now? Then you have to end it here. This is what you need to do. Oh, all right.
So we see that sometimes we are so overwhelmed by what is happening around us that we will not be able to hear. What happening around us becomes noise. You know, it's like you tuning to the frequency of a radio station. When you, let's say you're trying to get 101.9 and you are tuned to 101.8, you'll still be hearing some screechy noise. Until it gets to 101.9, the signal will be direct. What makes us not to hear is those distractions. All the distractions, the noise, the problem, the challenges. That's why the Bible says that guard your heart with all diligence. He said that for out of it are the issues of life. Guard it with all diligence. Now, when the qualifier with all diligence is used for something, it shows you how important it is. So our heart is the centerpiece, is the epicenter of actions, of where the devil is fighting or where God is trying to get to you. Once the noise is so much and the heart is distracted, you will not pick the signal. That is why we cannot afford to live anyhow. Whenever there is an issue, try and find a way to separate yourself. Jesus Christ gave us the example. The Bible will say that, and he stepped out and went to be with the Father. Alone. He stepped out of the scene. He walked out of the scene. Just to go and hear. And this is how this thing works. So, what this means is that it is only those who are led by the Spirit of God that can be qualified to be called sons of God. Now, it says peace and joy. You know another blessing about allowing that to happen? In Matthew 5 verse 9, the Bible said that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. If you're able to make something, that means you have it, isn't it? So you cannot be a peacemaker except you allow the Holy Spirit to reign in you. And so you now be a child of God by reason of that. That is the only qualifier. So, that is the first part of Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom. So we've broken down the first one now, which is the kingdom, seeking the kingdom. Now the second one, we talks about his righteousness. You'll be wondering, is it not in the first one? Okay, let's take it further. What is the meaning of his righteousness? God's righteousness simply means seeking that which is holy, acceptable, and perfect in God's sight always. Seeking that which is good, acceptable, and perfect in God's sight always. Listen to this. It doesn't matter what anybody is doing or what the world says. God says, forever, O Lord, his word is settled. He said that he will not change his standard for anybody. You know why? In Hebrews 13, verse 8, he said that, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, and today, and forever. The same God in the time of Elijah, the same God in the time of John, the same God in the time of Paul, is the same God now. So he will not change his standard. So that's why, no matter what everybody says, please be right with God. It's very, very important. If you look at what does it mean that everything should be holy, acceptable, and perfect in God's sight. If you check the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Romans 12, 1 to 2. He says that, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said that, and be not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that ye may prove that which is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There is a requirement. Now, when we are reading the Bible, let us pause and just look at some of the things that he said there. How is it possible for a sacrifice to be living? Have you ever thought of that before? Living sacrifice. Sacrifice is supposed to be dead, isn't it? Huh? Sacrifice is supposed to be dead. But he said that, present yourself as a living sacrifice. What does that mean? Now, if you have a dead being or a dead organism here, can the organism have his own will? Is it possible? So what does that mean? It means that if I'm to present my body as a living sacrifice, it means that my will is dead. My own ways are dead. That's why the Bible says in Galatians 2:20, Galatians 2 chapter 20, it said that, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yes, I'm crucified, but I'm living. He said, the life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What that means is, I am not my own anymore. I allow his will to reign in my life. So his righteousness is what is pleasing, acceptable, and perfect in his sight. So it starts by presenting ourselves as helpless before God in humility. Humble yourself before God. This is me. The psalmist was saying that, Father, please search me. You know my whole being. Search me. Whatever is not right within me, fix it. That was David. Right? Dying to self and allowing God to walk in, on, and through you by the power of the Holy Spirit is what we're talking about. Seeking his righteousness is releasing yourself. Make me, mold me, use me, fill me. There is a song that goes like that. Those songs, they are deep. Make me. You know, the Bible talks about the potter and the clay. Can the clay dictate to the potter, this is how I want to be? So we are clay in the hand of the master potter. He's the one that loves us so much and he will make the best out of our life. But the moment we are struggling with him, we are not seeking his righteousness. It's about yielding totally. And Jesus gave us an example. At the cross of destiny, why he came, at the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible makes us understand that Jesus had a tussle between his will and God's will. This weight is too much for me. But not my will, but your will be done. We will be faced with those kind of situations at different times of our life. But when Jesus allowed the will of God to prevail, that's why we are here today. And he got a name that is greater than every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. The blood shed on the cross of Calvary, helping us to be healed. That's why we can have the Holy Spirit today. He that saw, I think it's in Hebrews 12, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross and the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God. So what are you saying? What has God called you to be? What has God dropped in your heart? Can you see that? Can that be the big picture? So that you do not allow the circumstance of the moment to distract you. So how do we go about this thing? I was sharing an illustration earlier. You know, if you imagine that you have a jar of water that is just like one quarter of the jar, and you have some particles in that jar. Now, if you continue to pour water into that jar, the water will be coming up, and the particles will be coming up with it. Now, when it gets to the brim, it starts falling, trickling down, little by little, little by little. And you keep pouring the water. At a point, all the particles will drop off. And you keep pouring the water. If you stop pouring the water, the particles will gather again. But if you keep pouring the water will be pushing out the particles. So how do we allow God? Is by soaking ourselves in the water of his word. Daily. When we soak ourselves in his word daily, gradually, hurt, malice, envy, things of the flesh will start giving way. They will start coming out. And the more you pour the water of the word into your heart, you will see that you now become like God, because your heart is now filled with his word. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it said that, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what will be happening. Because you are filled with his word and you become so radiant. All that is in you is just about God. You'll be thinking his thoughts, right? And that's why Jesus said that you cannot survive this thing, this journey that we are talking about, without me. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I abide in him, that's the grafting. He said, that person is the one that will bring forth more fruits. That's why you cannot afford to fail to study God's word daily. When you don't put the word there, the devil will feed it with things of this world. That's why the work of God is intentional. It's deliberate. It's not happenstance. No. You have to be deliberate about it. And so, as we round up this morning, I don't know who is here, who is like, I want God in my life. Or I want to rededicate my life to Christ. That you've heard his word this morning and you're like, I think I need a new tone. I want to be more intentional about this journey. I'll give us a few things and we'll round up. Where do I start from on this journey? Acts chapter 2, verse 38. He said that, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because you cannot pour new wine in old wineskin. So you must repent, and the Holy Spirit will now come. Why do you need the Holy Spirit? Jesus Christ gave us an example. In Acts 10:38, he said that, and how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, that he went about doing good, for God was with him. It is because the Holy Spirit is there That is why God will be with you. Amen? Secondly, walk in Holy Spirit. It is impossible to succeed in this walk of faith without the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it. It's impossible. See, our natural beings is programmed to sin. That's just it. So except you allow the Holy Spirit to reign, right? In Galatians 5, verse 16 and 25, Galatians 5, 16 and 25, he says that, "These I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Verse 25 says that, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So you want to overcome sin? You want to win in this life? The God's way. You need to be, like Spanish say, a mano a mano with the Holy Spirit. Bond with the Holy Spirit. Lastly, do as commanded. Amen? Do as commanded. When he tells you to do some things, it will not make sense. I remember in May, and this is me rounding up now, May 2020, I saw an advert on LinkedIn. The advert was for a position in University of Dundee. When I saw the advert, there were three requirements that they said whoever will apply should submit. I've done the first two. The third one required me to probe my brain a bit, and I was not ready to do it. So I pushed it aside. I said, I'm not going to do it. So the deadline was going to close May 28, 2020. It was during the lockdown. And I was seated in my living room. And I heard the word, I heard it clearly. "Larry, you can do this thing. Go and do it." I said, "I don't want to stress myself. What is the essence of doing this thing that they will just be stressing people? Go and do it." That was the closing date. So I stood up around, I think it was around 6:37 in the evening, and I went to prepare that document, crack my brain, everything. That was May 28 on a Thursday. By June 1, Monday, I got an email from the university saying that you have been shortlisted for an interview. The interview was June 11. Now, funny enough, that moment, my laptop did not have a camera. So I went to purchase a camera, you know those one that you fix on the laptop, put it there. I set it up, and I locked my study because I did not want the children to go into the study and go and disrupt something. I had the interview on that day. The interview was supposed to be 25 minutes. I ended up spending about 57 minutes with them. The following day, I got an email. "We are glad to offer you this job." I was like, "What?" So, it was a split second. I did not know what was behind. Left to me, I wouldn't have applied. And that's why you have me here today. So my dear brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers in the house, who is here that I was want to say I want to follow Christ all the way? I want to follow him. I want to hear him. I want to know him better. I would like to pray with you as we round up this morning. Or is personal now. I would like to pray with you. There's this song that comes to me. It was also in the early days. The song says that, oh my Lord, have your way in my life every day. There is no rest and no peace until the Lord has his way. I place my life in your hands. Rest secured in your paths, oh my Lord, oh my Lord, have your way, yeah, have your way. Oh my Lord, have your way in my life every day. There is no rest and no peace until the Lord has his way. I place my life in your hands. Rest secure in your palms. Oh my Lord, ya na 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 yende, have your way. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Landry.
You want to pray for people here?